4. Learning to be untouchable. Sweat dripped into Moda's eyes as he climbed the rope to the skylight cupola. It was the 12th time in the past hour that Tharpa had commanded him to ascend with utmost speed. Moda paused at the top, held on with one hand, and with the other rubbed at his latest mask. With Mrs. Finchley's help, he'd constructed it from flour, water, paper pulp, and glue. He'd given it a devilish, grinning face. He leapt to a nearby rope, swung to the opposite wall, and climbed down head first. "You are strong for a child of 9 years," Tharpa said in his formal English. Modo grinned with pride. On the ground, his bow legs and awkward form were clumsy, but his large hands were made for climbing. He flipped over a sawhorse and landed on his feet. "Zounds," he said. Tharpa didn't react, so Modo flipped again. "Zounds!" "Yes, yes, impressive," Tharpa said, but Modo couldn't tell if his instructor was mocking him. After 5 years of his tutelage, the Indian remained completely unreadable. 3 days a week, Tharpa would train Modo in what he called the fighting arts. The rest of the week was spent reading history, learning languages, and memorizing maps on which all the countries of the empire were marked in red. As part of his schooling, Modo would dress up in costumes with Mrs. Finchley, perfecting accents and pretending to be other people. Her years as an actress made her a fine teacher, and Modo assumed he was a fine student, for she praised him regularly. Modo could now effortlessly list the order of precedence, from Queen Victoria down to gentlemen allowed to bear arms, and who should be seated next to whom at a dinner party. Why Mrs. Finchley wanted him to know such trivial matters, he couldn't imagine. Once a week, Mr. Socrates would visit, carrying a photograph or a portrait, and he'd set it on an easel in front of Modo. "You must become this person," he'd say, and Modo, with all the willpower and imagination he could muster, would visualize his body shifting and the structure of his face changing until, finally, painfully, his bones would actually move. More often than not, Modo failed to sustain the transformation, and moments later slipped back to his ugly self. But once in a while, he would shift his shape so completely that his eyebrows, nose, and lips were similar to the person in the portrait, and he would manage to hold the look for as long as 10 minutes. On those rare days when Modo succeeded, Mr. Socrates would dole out a smattering of praise. Modo could feed on one passing, "That was satisfactory," for a week, enthusiastically practicing at night in bed, shifting his face, his shape, hoping to receive another compliment when next they met. At one session, feeling brave, Modo asked, "Why do I have this ability?" "Chameleons modify their color according to their surroundings," Mr. Socrates explained. "Hares change their brown summer coat to white for the winter. I've seen species of fish that glow to hypnotize their prey. It's the perfect survival skill, Modo, to bewitch your enemies, to blend in with your friends. It's an adaptive transformation. Mother Nature has given you this gift." Mr. Socrates kept calling it a gift, but Modo wasn't so sure. He thought of the hours he'd spent changing his face and body, always reverting to his original form. Why couldn't he be changed forever? Mother Nature had been cruel to him. He understood that a son should learn from his father. He had been told about being abandoned as a baby, so he had no father, but still he yearned for his master's attention. He wondered what Mr. Socrates did when he wasn't at Ravenscroft. Sometimes months would pass without the usual weekly visit, and he'd explain his absence with a lesson, such as, "I was visiting Afghanistan, pointed out on the map." He was away now, and had been for over a month, but Tharpa had arrived like clockwork. "You do not need to wear your mask for me, Modo," Tharpa said. "It is made for the outside world. You will not always be able to hide behind it when you fight." Modo undid the knots and removed the mask, setting it on a table. He felt naked. This was not a face for the world to see. Mr. Socrates had told him so. At the master's insistence, Mrs. Finchley had long ago hung a mirror in the bedroom. Modo still had not grown used to his own reflection. "Now let us spar," Tharper directed, and cracked his knuckles. Modo raised his fists. "Not boxing, nor savate." Tharper reached for two long bamboo swords. "Kenjutsu." He tossed Modo a sword and immediately swung at him, forcing him to parry. They moved side to side, slowly. The tick and tack rhythm was mesmerizing to Modo, so much so that he was completely surprised when Tharper kicked at a small stool and sent it into Modo's knee. "Anything can be a weapon, Modo. Even your own breath." Modo laughed, but Tharper looked quite serious. A second later he smiled. "It depends on what you eat, of course. Garlic and onions, very dangerous." This time Modo truly guffawed, and at that moment Tharper swung a blow toward his head that Modo parried with ease. "Laughter relaxes the muscles," Tharper said. "Your technique is more natural now. Anger tightens them." Modo struck back, and Tharper parried the blow. "How long will I have to stay inside Ravenscroft?" Modo asked. "Sahib will decide."
"Has he told you?"
"Sahib has not shared his plans with me." Modo thought he saw an opening, so he snapped the sword down, but Tharper turned it away. Modo watched his teacher's steady eyes.
"When you look at me, you don't cringe," Modo said.
"There's no reason to," Tharper answered. Modo dodged to one side a moment too late. The bamboo slapped his shoulder and stung.
"Even Mr. Socrates recoils a little at the sight of me."
Tharper shrugged again and brought the sword down on Modo's leg.
"Ow!"
"No complaints," Tharper said softly. "Expressing distress will only encourage the enemy." Then he stepped back, held up a hand, and said, "The eyes see what the mind wants them to see."
"What do you mean?"
"I was invisible once. I was born and raised in Bombay. I was a Dalit, an untouchable. My father was a carcass handler, and he did not exist in the eyes of the upper castes. One day, he was struck by a wagon. No one would come to his aid as he lay there. So he died, and I was left alone. I could no longer bear to handle the dead bodies of animals. So I joined the army and became Mr. Socrates' orderly. He recognized something in me. He said I had quickness of hand and spirit, but my past weighed too much on me. So he gave me a new name, to release me from my past. As Tharper, I am no longer an untouchable Dalit. But he made me untouchable in a new way."
"Oh."
Modo assumed Tharper meant all the martial arts that he now taught.
"But I remember my past, young Sahib. That is why I do not cringe when I see you. Your disfiguration, it is not your true self."
Modo would have smiled if Tharper had not struck him a glancing blow off his cheek.
"Hey, that's not fair. You raised your hand. I thought we were finished fighting."
"There is no fair, Modo. No matter what you are doing, your mind should not drift from the task of defending yourself. Your body must react no matter where your thoughts take you." Modo nodded, his cheek stinging. It occurred to him then that Tharper no longer had a father, and Modo did not know who his own father was. This was something they shared. Then another thought came to him. Mr. Socrates was father to both of them.